trust in the Lord and do good things and live in the land and practice being faithful. And be happy with the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Entrust your ways to the Lord and trust Him, and He will act on your behalf, and He will make your righteousness shine like a light, your just cause like the noonday sun. Father, You are worthy of our worship and praise, and we want to give You that. And we want to trust in You, and we want to have a relationship with You, and we want to walk with You, and we thank You that as Christians, we can do that, and I just praise You for that. And Lord, at this time, we want to lift up so many needs around us, the needs on our prayer list, the sick, the struggling families, the people going in our nation that are our leaders. Lord, we pray that You would somehow just work amongst the filth that leads us, Lord, and draw them to You. And Lord, I pray that our worship time today would be worthy of You and in Your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glenn.
All right. Remain standing and turn to page 470. 470. You'll flip backwards to 249. 249. Jesus paid it all.
Watch and pray. I am mean, I know. faded all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
You can be seated.
Thank you.
It's time for. You can be turning to Revelation 20. Here are little interesting things about books. When John wrote the Revelation, during that time, the cities, of that time had a book, most of them, that listed the citizens of that city. And when you broke the law, or when you were a criminal, your name would be blotted out of that book. And at that point, you would be forced to move out of the city and live elsewhere, and you were never allowed back into the city. In fact, if you were caught back in the city after your name had been blotted out, you would be arrested and killed. And it's interesting because somebody whose name wasn't in the book in those towns could actually come and visit, but they weren't allowed to live there. And if your name had been blotted out of the book, you were never allowed to be there. Now the Bible, write that down, the Bible also speaks about a book. And the book the Bible speaks about is called the Book of Life. In Revelation 20 verse 15, the last verse, it says, And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So if a person's name is not found written in this book of life, they were not permitted to live in that city. They could not be citizens of that city. And what city is it talking about? Well, if we continue to read and Revelation 21, I'm sure all of you have an idea of what city we're talking about, but let's read about it. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So it's a beautiful city. There is nothing more beautiful than a bride on her wedding day. And I've done quite a few weddings. I have no idea how many. I just don't know. But I have never, not one time, seen an ugly bride. There's something about that wedding day. I mean, you know, and I've seen brides that were fixed up to the T, and I've seen brides that just came and they couldn't afford a dress or whatever, and they just came to get married, and they got married. They were beautiful too. It's just something like you've never seen, and we all know that. And so he's using this to say and give a picture of how beautiful this city is. And we'll go to verse 4 again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So it's a beautiful place, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what we read about, if your name's not in the book of life. And we'll stop there. But it goes on, and if you're interested, it gives a beautiful, beautiful, detailed description of this beautiful, beautiful city. It sounds like an amazing place. But if your name is not written in the book of life, you will not be allowed to live there. Our verse tells you where you will live, have to live. Verse 15 again, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, of course, is hell. This sermon is not necessarily about that. It is entitled The Book of Life. But just as there is a beautiful and wonderful city of life, there is hell. I wouldn't be a preacher of any kind if I didn't tell you that. I read some of the writings of a guy named William Newell, and he said four things about the book of life that I found interesting. And I looked at those things, and then I began to study the Word of God and saw some really neat things that I hadn't noticed in a while or ever. And I felt they were things I needed to share with you. So if you would allow me today, and even if you won't allow me, I'm going to share them anyway. So anyway, let me just give you some things. But before we do, let's pray again. Father, I thank you that there is a book of life. And Lord, I pray that everyone in this place's name is written in it. And if not, that before this study ends, it will be. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things, statements is this. Write this down. It is the absence of one's name, not one's work, that dooms a person. Now the Bible does say, as we read earlier here, when we were reading, that there are certain kinds of people who will not be in heaven: murderers and liars and basically sinners. But if you come back to our verse, we see why people were being sent to hell. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They were sent there because their names were not in that book. Now, the book of life is the list of the citizens in heaven, and it says in Revelation 17 that it was actually written before the foundation of the world. If you flip back a few pages to Revelation 17, verse 8, it says, The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So there, that book has been around a long time. And there are other books in heaven. In fact, when people come before the judgment throne at the end of time, there are other books that are going to be brought out. If you go back to Revelation 20 and look at verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, some people say, oh, that's all people that have died. No, when you become a Christian, you at that moment inherit eternal life. You come to life and you never die. I did a funeral Friday for Maxine Dixon, who's 94 years old. And Maxine, you know, when I did that funeral, I didn't worry about her being dead. She wasn't dead. She was a Christian. Now, her body was there, but she herself, her soul, had gone to be with Jesus. And at some point on the resurrection day, her body will join her there. But she had already found life many, many years before. So these are people that never found life in Jesus. The dead. And there were great ones and there were small ones. And they were standing before God. And the books were open. This was not the book of life. Okay? These were books that were records of their deed. And another book was open, which was the book of life. So you have the books that were the records of their deeds, and then you have the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, but they were not sent to hell because of what was written in those books. They were sent to hell, it says, because their name was not written in the book of life. And I never thought about that. I'd never thought about that. And these books were opened at the great white throne judgment, where all of the lost are judged. Their deeds were judged. And those whose names were written in the book of life, they're not judged because Jesus has already paid for their sins. But even the lost, as I said, are not cast into hell because of their deeds. They are cast into hell because their names are not written in the book of life. Again, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, evil works, write this down, are not the issue. You understand that many great sinners' names are recorded in the book of life because they accepted Jesus. You know, I'm a student of history, and some of the greatest murderers in history will be in heaven. Napoleon Bonaparte, when he was the emperor, murdered thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians. Some people say even in the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. But later, when he was in exile, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. His name became written in the book of life. John Newton, Amazing Grace. John Newton probably caused the death of well over several thousand people when he was a ungodly slave trader. And he would just, slaves would die in his ships and he'd just throw them overboard. Sometimes just because they'd get sick. He'd cuss and be drunk and didn't know anything about it. And this is from his testimony. But John Newton accepted Jesus as his Savior, and John Newton's name became written in the book of life. Jeffrey Dahmer, many of us remember the horror of his murderous career and as a cannibal, and before he was murdered in prison himself, was led to the Lord by James Dobson. He'll be in heaven because his name was written in the book of life. On the other hand, there are many good people who would do anything for you and were just nice people who would do anything for you, but they don't know Jesus and their names are not written in the book of life. And they will be cast into the lake of fire unless they come to Jesus.
Understand, it's not your works that save or condemn you. It's whether or not your name is written in that book of life. It is whether or not you have a relationship with King Jesus. Understand that those, write it down, those whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast or are cast into that lake of fire, and that's hell. Jesus, did you know Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven? I had an old college professor one time, and he was going on and on and on about Jesus never talked about hell and never talked about hell, and he was quoting a scripture where Jesus was talking about hell, you know, and he said he never talked about it. It was the rich man in Lazarus. And I said, well, isn't that right, preacher? And I said, well, I don't know. He was the one that's saying what you're saying. So, and everybody laughed, and he got mad at me. But anyway, look. Anyone whose names, who does not have a relationship with Jesus, will go to hell. Jesus preached more about it. Look in Mark 9, just to give you an example. We're not going to read a lot of his preaching about that, but we need to understand that Jesus had things to say about this thing. Mark chapter 9, beginning and reading at verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than to go, having two hands, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell with the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'll stop there. But I wanted you to understand, Jesus was God, and he had God's knowledge, and he knew hell was real. And here's what he said. He said, the fire never goes out, and it's never quenched, and that means it's everlasting. And the agony and the suffering and the pain is everlasting, and it does not end, and it cannot be quenched. Just as heaven is everlastingly wonderful, so hell is everlastingly horrible. It was not created for us. God didn't create it for us. It was created for the beast and for Satan and for his demons to be tormented eternally. If you go back to Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. However, anyone whose name is not written in the book of life will join them there, where they will suffer everlasting pain and agony and separation from God for eternity. And understand this, and this is an important thing. All names were written in the book of life before the judgment day. You cannot wait to see how things are going to work out and then you make your decision. Some of the most satanic teaching there is the teaching that you can put off asking Jesus into your heart. You cannot put it off. That is a lie from Satan. First of all, the Bible's clear about this. You must be called by God to be saved. If you'll go back to Matthew 22, verse 14. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's an interesting thing. You are called. If God calls you to salvation, do not put it off, because it doesn't say that He calls and calls and calls and calls and calls. Now, many times He does, but He doesn't have to. And you also do not know when you are going to die. You know, you could die at any moment, and then it would be too late. And young people, you think, oh, you know, I've got plenty of time. No, you don't always have plenty of time. We have people on our prayer list who are very, very young, and they had no idea that the physical things were going to happen to them. One young lady that's my son's sister-in-law, you know, driving down the road with her husband, going on a weekend vacation. And how old was she? She's probably, what, 34? Two very young children had a stroke. Beautician, she'll probably never work again. I mean, it was big. Fortunately, her husband, you know, he was a medical person and he knew what to do, thank goodness, and got her to the hospital. But the point is, you do not know how much time you have. You could go at this very moment. At that point, if you don't know Jesus, it will be too late. And finally, you know, to be honest, you just don't know when Jesus is coming back. There are some writers that look to the salvation of the nation of Israel during the tribulation, and they'll say that people can be saved then. Well, there will be people being saved, Jewish people. And I have people say, well, I'll just wait, and if all of a sudden everybody leaves, disappears, then I'll ask Jesus into my heart. Well, you know what? At the moment the church leaves, that's the end of the church age. And God has made provision for His chosen people. Let me ask you this. How many Jewish people do we have here? Any Jewish people? Raise your hand if you're a Jewish person. Well, you're out of luck then. If you don't know Jesus and He comes, you know, there are many Jewish people, and even them, they're going to have a hard time go of it, because it's going to be extreme persecution. When Jesus returns and the church age ends, God does make provision for the salvation of His chosen people. But unless you're Jewish, when Jesus returns, you're too late. I guess the question I need to ask each person here this morning is this. Is your name written in the book of life? There is only one way that your name can be written in the book of life, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and Jesus Christ shed His blood. And when we come to Him in repentance and in faith and in calling upon Him to save us, at that moment, our names are written in blood in the book of life. And we are saved. We are saved. And folks, in this world of deception which we live in, people will tell you that hell is not real. They will tell you something, and I've heard this and heard this and heard this, that a loving God would never send anyone to a place like hell. In fact, it's gotten to where preachers very rarely, and bless my heart, I'm probably one of them, will very rarely preach about hell. You know, you just don't hear a lot of sermons, even from me, about hell. And it's sad, Wade, because that's what got me saved. That preacher was preaching about hell, and I really figured out I didn't want to go there. A loving God did this. He sent His only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's what a loving God does. A loving God does not want you to go to hell. A loving God made provision so you do not have to go to hell. But you must be willing to turn from your sins and turn to Him. You must, in faith, call upon His name. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Here is the truth. And people don't like this when I say this, but it is the truth. Most people do not want to get saved. We act like, oh, as soon as someone hears about Jesus, they're going to want to get saved. They do if the Holy Spirit's convicting them and drawing them. But most people don't want to be saved. They want to live a worldly life and go on and just like they've been doing. And maybe they'll come down and maybe they'll get baptized and maybe they'll join the church and maybe they'll get a fire insurance policy that's not worth anything. And maybe this and maybe that. But very few people want to get saved. Many are called. Oh, God calls and convicts and tries to draw many, but few respond. But I'm here to tell you that if your name is not written in the book of life, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be in bad shape one of these days. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. And I pray that you would accept Him. If your name's not written in the book of life, the lake of fire, hell, is your destination. And I encourage you to come to Jesus before it's too late. Before it's too late. Now, folks, I do not know why God wanted me to preach this message. I do not know. This is not my normal kind of Sunday morning messages, but He wanted me to preach this message, and I think it's because somebody or several people in here need to get saved. And I'm preaching it, and I'm telling you guys, you can't keep putting it off, whoever you may be. You cannot keep putting this thing off. If your name is not written in the book of life, sometime it's going to be too late. So if you don't know Jesus, you know, I'm giving you fair warning and I'm telling you from the Word of God, you must be born again. You must come to Jesus because all your good works aren't going to help you. You may be the best old boy or girl that ever lived. You may be doing everything you think you can do. You may be putting on the good show and doing everything right. It doesn't matter. Your works aren't going to get you into heaven and your works aren't going to keep you out of hell. The only thing that's going to keep you out of hell is a relationship with Jesus and having your name written in the book of life. Would you go to the Lord with prayer, to prayer with me? Father, we just turn this invitation over to you. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, that today, they will come to you. And Lord, there's an urgency. There's an urgency. We live in an ungodly world that says everything's okay when it's not. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to examine our hearts. And if you're calling, whoever you're calling, Lord, draw them to you so that they can respond. It's not a matter of coming and joining this church. We'd love for people to join the church. But Lord, it's a matter of coming to Jesus. So we turn this time of invitation over to you in His name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed. And Amy's going to play. And you come if God may be drawing you today.